Welcome to the Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio, a time to explore our Catholic faith and find out about ways to share the faith with others. Help create the possibility of an encounter with the person of Jesus Christ in the lives of others by living out the call to the new evangelization and helping fellow Catholics rediscover full life in the Church. The Rediscover Hour is brought to you by Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, they're there for life. The Rediscover Hour starts now.
Welcome to the Rediscover Hour, friends. Patrick Conley, happy that you have tuned in to join us again here on the Rediscover Hour, where we continue to report things that the Lord is doing in our midst here in the Archdiocese of St. Paul, Minneapolis. So grateful that you are part of that and that the Lord is looking to do great things through you as well. And that brings me to this weekend's gospel lesson, which is from Matthew chapter 21, as we're in the 27th. We were beginning the 27th week in Ordinary Time, and the 27th Sunday of Ordinary Time. Jesus is telling another parable. Yeah, and this time the parable is about the landowner and his vineyard, who, you may recall, he leased it out to tenants. And tenants, when harvest time came and the landowner sent servants to collect the produce, they said, "No, I want all this for myself." So they kill one and then two rounds of servants, and then finally the landowner sends his son, and the tenants say, "Oh, come on, this is the heir, let's kill him. Then it will be all ours," right? And Jesus, speaking as he is to the chief priests and elders of the people in this parable, he ends his little telling of the story and then giving you the moral of the story, saying that the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people that will produce its fruit. Well, this is, again, one of these kind of both inspiring and encouraging, but also a bit harrowing warnings from our Lord, basically saying that, you know, maybe it just might be that if you're not careful, you might miss the whole meaning behind it all, behind what's going on and what I am doing in your midst, what the kingdom of heaven, what the kingdom of God is all about. Just a reminder that tenants are stewards, yeah? And we are all stewards. We are stewards of what God has so generously given to each of us, which includes everything, including our very life, but all the resources that we have. St. Paul asks, as I've said before, what do you have that is not a gift? And of course, the answer he is no doubt implying is, well, there's nothing that I have that is not a gift, and we are stewards of those gifts. The Lord has given us the command over these gifts to use them and to use them fruitfully. And in this case, the tenants of the vineyard did not want to share it. They wanted to keep it all to themselves. They wanted to enrich their lives the way they wanted their lives to be enriched and not the way that the landowner wants them to be enriched. Now, here's the thing. We should, in our faithful following after Christ, we should come to recognize more and more as we grow in spiritual maturity that what the Lord has in mind for our life is actually the best thing for our lives, right? It's amazing, remarkable at how quickly I, and I'm assuming you and others, can forget that. We can forget how the Lord does have our best in mind, because we have this innate human tendency, in some cases at least, this concupiscence to look at our lives and look at the places where we're experiencing suffering, we're experiencing want, we're experiencing a lack of something, at least how we perceive it, and see that that is something that needs to be remedied, that has to be changed, so that we are no longer suffering, but we are comfortable, I suppose, is the best way if I can think of putting it, that we're not in suffering, we're in comfortability. That's why, the opposite of suffering is comfortability, but suffering does not, its opposite is not rejoicing. That's why St. Paul can say, "I rejoice in my sufferings." We can rejoice that our sufferings are accomplishing within us, as he also says, something far beyond what we can ask or imagine, right? And that they are light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory which far outweighs them all. C.S. Lewis, of course, talks about how we are content with far too little, right? It's not our problems that we have a desire too big, but our desires are too small. We don't desire those things which the Lord has for us. Back to the parable, though, God is really challenging the chief priests and the elders of his day, but also, I think, all of us, to be attentive to God, to be attentive to his works and his will around us. And are we working in conjunction with that, or are we looking to our own interests, right? Which St. Paul actually warned us about last Sunday, in that if we're with God, then consider everyone to be, you know, equals to us and deserving of all that we have. To consider others, he even goes so far as to say, as better than ourselves. So just one example, during this pandemic time, you know, there's been a lot of temptation to kind of hunker down and making sure we have all the resources that we ourselves personally need. Now, I'm not denigrating to providing for a family. That is definitely something we need to see to. But at the same time, don't we also struggle with, I need to make this, make sure we've got this. I need to make sure we've got this. I need to make sure we've got this. Even though we might not consciously think this, even at the expense of others, right? Or are we using this time to reach out? Are we becoming more creative? And that's what we've been trying to highlight here in the Rediscover Hour during the past months of this pandemic, is how creative, inspired people who are empowered by the Holy Spirit are continuing to do just that, are looking beyond themselves. In fact, just to wrap it up, it says here in our second reading, St. Paul writes in the letter to the Philippians, he says to them, "Keep on doing what you've learned and received and heard and seen in me." And my question to us, my challenge to myself and to you, is can we say that? Can we say that to someone else who is striving to move forward in the faith? Can we say, yeah, just do what you've learned and received and heard and seen in me? Whatever you've seen me do, do that. Man, I've got a long way to go. How about you? Well, we've got a great show again coming up here on the Rediscover Hour. We're going to have Laura Sobiech with us, and if that name rings a bell, it probably should. We'll get more from her in just a moment. A little bit later on, we've got Bill Dill and Katie Walker from the Office of Evangelization. No, not Evangelization. That's who's sponsoring the show. From the Office of Marriage, Family, and Life. Specifically, they are going to be talking about some things going on with AYD, Archdiocesan Youth Day, and how that's taking a little different spin. And then a little bit later on, Joan Gesick is with us from Catholic Cemeteries to talk about a new initiative called the Bring Them Home initiative. All right, so that's what we've got coming up. Let's start our show, as always, with a prayer dedicating the show to our Lord through the intercession of our Blessed Mother. So please pray with me in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Song ring a bell at all? That is Clouds by Zach Sobiech, and we've got his mother Laura with us today. Zach passed away in May of 2013 from osteosarcoma, and we are grateful for the ways that his life has continued to change and challenge the lives of many around the world. Laura is an author, a speaker, and a pursuer of God in all parts of her life, looking for him both in the easy parts, but also in the nasty hard bits too. She's written a book called Fly a Little Higher, How God Answered a Mom's Small Prayer in a Big Way. And she works, when she has the time, I'm sure, to as a community outreach coordinator at Children's Cancer Research Fund. And she says she likes to puzzle while listening to 70s light rock or Gregorian chant. I love that combination. Laura, welcome to the program.
Hello, thank you.
Thank you so much for being with us. I'm so grateful that you could take the time. I'm sure you have many, many things going on in your life. And, you know, there may be, I don't know if this is possible, but there may be some people out there who are unfamiliar with Zach's story. Can you give us just the brief synopsis of Zach's story, of your story, really?
Yes, absolutely. So, We live in Minnesota. We have four children, and our third child, Zach, when he was 14 years old, he was complaining of some left hip pain, and after a series of tests and, you know, therapy and whatnot, we found out that he had bone cancer called osteosarcoma. And after about 2.5 years of battling the disease, we found out that he was terminal. There were no treatments left for him. And as a way to say goodbye to his family and friends, he wrote a song called Clouds that you heard at the beginning of the show. And he, you know, just sort of put that out there, used his gifts that God gave him in this way. And it just kind of took off, and it went viral, and there was a documentary done about our family and Zach called My Last Days, Meet Zach Sobiech, and that really took off. And then after Zach died, things just got even crazier, and then I did end up writing the book, which is now put out there. There's a movie tie-in of the book called Clouds, a Memoir, with an updated epilogue and such. And then it just kept going, to the point now where we have a movie called Clouds based on our story and the book. And it will be streaming on Disney Plus on October 16th. So it just keeps going.
It's quite amazing the impact that Zach has had, that you all as a family have had through, of course, coordinated efforts from other people. But the Lord has really moved in you and in your family in some pretty powerful ways to be inspiring. I was just taking a look at some of the documentary in preparation for this interview, and it's amazing, and it's inspiring to watch. It actually makes you want to live your life differently in a better way. What is that? Can you even begin to describe what this whole process has been like from the inside?
Oh, that's a tough question.
Sure.
It's so different being on the inside than it is on the outside, I think, because you're kind of in the whirlwind, so it's hard to really assess the whole thing. That's one of the difficult parts for me is just to wrap my head around how God's used our story. But I was listening to your monologue before we started talking, and just the stewardship part of like what God has given us, how do we steward that? For us, it was our story. That's what we had to give the world. And we just really sort of handed that over to God and just took one step at a time with it. And I kind of joke that we just kind of bump along behind the story now. Our prayer has really been, and mine really has been, just, Lord, open doors and we'll walk through. And then then we just leave it up to God to do what he wants to do with the story. You know, and here we are. And, you know, it's amazing to me that our very simple family, there really truly is nothing extraordinary about us, but what God has chosen to do with us is extraordinary. And like you said, people's lives have been touched. Like, you watch that documentary, and for some reason, it inspires something in people. And it's really hard for me to wrap my head around that, because I know, like, we're just people. We're just messy, clunky people who are just doing our best to live our faith. But God can make it so much bigger.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that's pretty well, it stands out in the documentary, at least the second one too, the 1 year later that they also did about your family and how things have progressed since Zach's death. Of course, this was back in 2013, 2014, right? So it's been a while now. But even then, I know you were saying that you didn't have in mind initially to write a book, but you just wanted to get some of your thoughts down, some of the things down on paper. Is that right?
Yeah, it was like I knew I wanted to write. And really my only experience up to that point of when Zach died was just updating his Caring Bridge space. As we went through it. So it's like a blog that people can tap into to find out how things are going with the family. And it was such a profound experience to lose a child, to go through that process. It's a very spiritual experience too. And I knew I wanted to really explore some of that. I really didn't think it was going to be a book because I didn't think I had that in me. I thought maybe it would be a blog, you know, continue to blog about it. But
sure.
I was given the opportunity. You know, that's another one of those sort of miracles that happened as a result of this. I was given that opportunity to write a book with a big publisher, and it was such a gift to be able to sit down. I got the book deal about a month after Zach died, and then they wanted it written within 12 weeks, and so it was an intense process. Mm-hmm. But such a gift, because turns out I work really well under a deadline, and all of those memories, all those things were so fresh, and I was able to put those down on paper. And it also allowed me the opportunity, on the tail of that first documentary, where people were really inspired, it allowed me to sort of fill in some of the backstory. Hmm. You know, like, yes, I understand you see this boy and you see this family and you're inspired, but there was a lot of work that went into that too. And I really wanted a place to sort of share how our faith played into it. And to really show people, like, we really are an average family who are messy and, you know, like I said, clunky in how we interact with each other, and especially through something like having a child die. I wanted people to see that sort of struggle, because I want people to know, I want people to be able to connect, to see that, oh, they're just like us, you know, yet God chose to use them. Praise God.
Amen.
You know, and just in that hope.
Yeah. And I know that just all the saints of heaven would be joining right in with you. I can imagine that anyway. That's, you know, sometimes we get this idea that the saints, especially the canonized saints, that they're so far beyond us and so far anything we could ever imagine. I can just hear them speaking through you, Laura, when you say that you know what? We're people. We just mm-hmm. let the Lord do what he wanted to do, you know?
Right.
So clunky, messy people, and just like we all are, and yet just giving him the slightest yes, and things can be unleashed. Well, the book is Fly a Little Higher, How God Answered a Mom's Small Prayer in a Big Way. Available throughout, you know, in your usual book buying places. But then let's talk a little bit about this movie. So how did this come about?
So the My Last Days series, so those two documentaries that we did, Justin Baldoni was the producer and director of those. And we became very close friends. And he really had a passion. He really wanted to do a movie based on our story. But he'd never directed a movie before. Mm-hmm. And so he started marketing it in Hollywood. And through a series of really kind of miraculous events, he ended up getting a deal with Warner Brothers. Wow. It was the first movie of its kind for Warner Brothers. Typically, they do the big budget movies, you know, the superhero movies, Harry Potter and Lord of the Rings kinds of movies, and they were really looking at doing a smaller budget movie, and Clouds fit the bill for them, and so they ended up actually greenlighting it for production. And then after COVID happened, they had decided they were just going to kind of stuff it on their HBO Max website or streaming service, but Justin really didn't want that to happen, and he had done this unique deal with them where he could market it. If they decided to do that, he could take it and market it to other places. And then Disney was looking for this type of film, and it fit all of their boxes. And it just ended up being really the perfect home for this movie. So Clouds will be on Disney Plus streaming in October, and we're really excited about it. And
yeah,
happy to share this story in this new way.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, legacy is a a term that gets thrown around quite a bit, but there is a legacy being built here. And, you know, and I want to be, hopefully I'm not the first to say it, but it is Zach's legacy, but it's all of your legacy. And it's most prominently the legacy of what the Lord continues to do in and through you. And so I'm grateful for you saying yes, for you saying yes to the book, for you saying yes to the production of this movie, and all the wonderful ways so that this story can continue to be an inspiration for others. So it's the movie Clouds will be released in October on Disney Plus. other places that people can learn more about Zach's story, about your story, to become more familiar, that you would recommend?
Yeah, actually, so we have the Zach Sobiech Osteosarcoma Fund. We've got a movement now called Zach's Movement. So if people want to Google Zach's Movement on his website, there's all sorts of behind-the-scenes information, articles written from with information about how it was for our family to go through this process and Zach's friends and kind of where are they now pieces. And then there's also ways to engage with Zach's Movement to help us in our mission of raising money for osteosarcoma research. And that's part of Zach's legacy, too. We've raised over $2 million so far for research because he really had a passion for using his talent to help other kids. And so that's what we're doing.
Well, just in the small exposure that I've had to you and your family, I am very grateful to have had it. And like I said, it's been inspiring. I think in the last minute we have together, Laura, could I ask you maybe just to say a word to parents who are facing the struggles of a child with a terminal illness, and even perhaps anybody who's facing a relative or a loved one with terminal illness? How would you inspire them in the ways that, in the deep sadness that they find themselves?
Yeah, I think, first of all, be patient with yourself and with each other. I think that for us, we really had to learn how to live in this present moment, because too often we allow like the future to rob us of our peace, but also our past. And so we learned very quickly that we have this moment right now to engage in and find joy in. And I think along with that, especially when you're dealing with terminal illness or just some other thing that's affecting your family life and putting you in a place you don't want to be, detachment. You know, really praying for the grace of detachment. You were talking about St. Paul earlier and how he lived with a spirit of detachment. He was at peace wherever he was, with plenty or with nothing. And that's a hard thing to achieve, and we can't really do it on our own. So just praying for that grace to let go of your plans for your life and your loved one's life and allow God's grace to come in and take over and just take your life into that space that God wants you to be, because it's bigger than you can imagine.
Well, amen. Well, thank you so much for those words and for that inspiration, for your continued work and your continued life of prayer, of faith, of responding to and relying upon the grace and strength of God for each and every day. It is an inspiration for many of us. And I'm sure that as you continue to do this good work, that many others will be drawn to the Lord. So thank you, and God bless you, Laura, as you continue this good work.
Thank you so much, and for the opportunity to share our story with so many.
Absolutely. Take care. All right, we're going to go into our first break. When we come back, we've got Bill Dill and Katie Walker from the Archdiocesan Office of Marriage, Family, and Life talking to us about Archdiocesan Youth Day and a new format. Stay with us. Rediscover.
Are you near retirement? Don't let taxes and fees chip away at your retirement savings. Those little charges add up quickly and eat away at your hard-earned nest egg. That's the last thing you want. Take control. Build lasting retirement security with an annuity from Catholic United Financial. We offer a safe, secure place to preserve your money with a guaranteed rate of return. And no annual fees, no transfer fees, no account service fees, no hidden fees, none. Nada. We guarantee a competitive interest rate no matter what the market's doing. Maximize your savings. Transfer funds to a new Catholic United Bonus Plan annuity and get a first-year bonus interest rate. Honor your faith with Catholic United. Over 140 years of people helping people. Go to CatholicUnitedFinancial.org/safe money. That's CatholicUnitedFinancial.org/safe money. Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey. We're there for life.
All the ends of the earth, all you creatures of the sea.
The master of the sea.
for the world.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. Joining me now, Bill Dill is the Marriage Preparation and Youth Ministry Events Coordinator for the Archdiocese and Office of Marriage, Family, and Life. And joining him is also Katie Walker, the Assistant Youth Ministry and Marriage Preparation Coordinator for the Archdiocese as well. Bill, Katie, welcome.
Hey, thanks, Patrick. Thanks for having us with you.
Yeah,
great to have you.
Here.
Yeah, good to have you both with us. Thanks so much, and thanks for your continued work, especially with Archdiocesan Youth Day. I know we've talked about that in years past with you, Bill, and that's a continuing effort. But we have a little bit of a different setting this year for Archdiocesan Youth Day. Why don't you tell us, Bill, about what it was like when you were considering what to do with AYD this year?
Sure. So, back in the spring, we were hearing about this COVID thing and didn't know how long we were going to be out. And just like everybody, we had to kind of figure out what to do. And as time went on, we realized that this was going to affect our fall plans, which, of course, at the beginning, nobody thought it would. But we saw in youth ministry a lot of events canceled over the summer. And personally, it was really heartbreaking. These were opportunities for our young people to encounter Christ, and they were being canceled. And also, our young people were, there's so much separation and division. And we said, well, we obviously can't bring 1,500 people together like we usually do for AYD, but can't we do something? Can't we do something so that we can at least provide an opportunity in some way? Can we be creative? And I met with a group of our youth ministry directors, and they agreed, and they said, yeah, let's find a way to do this. And so we brainstormed, and we talked about bringing in people online. In other words, bringing in some national speakers and putting them on the big screen and piping them in via Zoom or something like that. And they said, Bill, what if we didn't have any of that? What if we just stuck with totally local people and didn't have much on the screen? Because people are tired of screens. Mm-hmm. And I said, great. So we have one. We're only going to have one. Father Mike Smith is going to be doing a pre-recorded talk for us. And other than that, it's all going to be local people live in five different parishes. And that's kind of what we did is we said, well, if we can only have 250 people, we're going to need multiple locations. And we had five brave parishes step up. And it's a lot of work for them.
Yeah.
And make it happen.
That's amazing. Katie, what was it like for you as you were trying to come up with this new format, as working within the new format? How has this affected your professional life?
Yeah, it's definitely been a whole different type of work, but it's been so exciting and super fun to get creative with the way that we do things and to get to work with our youth ministers even more directly than we often get an opportunity to, getting to know them more and getting to know just the way that they work. It's been really fun.
Wow. Okay. Are we releasing? Do we know who these five parishes are, Bill?
Yeah. Katie, why don't you go ahead and tell them?
Yeah. Katie, tell us.
Yeah. So we have St. John the Baptist in New Brighton, St. Therese in Deep Haven, Mary Mother of the Church in Burnsville, St. Joseph in West St. Paul, and St. Henry in Monticello.
Okay. All right. So that's pretty well spread out geographically. And mm-hmm. and so the thought is what? Kind of lay this out for us, Bill. Will it look essentially just like AYD, but in parishes, in a smaller grouping, or will it be a different format as well?
That's a great question. Yeah, we kind of began by saying, okay, we'll just do the regular format, 1:30 to 9, at these different parishes. But as we got into it, we recognized that now is really time for flexibility.
Uh-huh.
Some parishes said, you know, this is going to be hard with the COVID regulations. It's going to be hard with this. And we said, hey, I get it. Let's make it happen. However you have to do it, whatever you have to modify. The people I'm working with are just, they're really good people. So I trust them. And I said, you know, do what you can and adjust as you need to. And so they've made adjustments. I think a lot of the key elements are there. Adoration is there. Mass is there. The bishops, and this is an amazing story, if I can take a side
Please.
Step here, Patrick.
Sure.
The bishops, when I proposed this, I said, okay, well, one of the tricks to this is really the bishop's day. So if we're going to do it in five locations, I'm going to ask. And the bishops can tell me no. They can do that. I say, hey, I like to ask the bishops to travel to as many parishes as possible. And I asked them if they could go to three parishes each, and they came back and said, Bill, we'll go to four parishes each.
Wow.
And right. And that's like a day of driving. And that's what really they're going to be doing, is they're going to be driving from one spot to the next. And between the two of them, they're going to make all five parishes.
That's great.
And the Archbishop's going to be able to make the mass at the cathedral that day, the white mass for COVID workers and medical workers as well that day.
Wow.
So the CMA mass. So they are really, I just, kudos to the bishops for being willing to go from place to place, from mass to mass, and make this happen. So the bishops, so back to our schedule, they're going to have some, they'll have music. Music will be a little different. The praise and worship music will be a little different. The games will be very different. But we're going to have people in there. They're going to be spread out. We're going to make sure that people are COVID safe, that you're following all the regulations, which is a lot of work with an event like this.
Mm-hmm.
But again, flexibility, and the key is that we're going to bring Jesus. We're going to bring the message that we're going to have some great talks. We have some great speakers, Pat Millay, Steve Grass, John O'Sullivan. We have some great speakers lined up there. The parishes are lining up different musicians at every place. And then having that time, adoration is so powerful at these things. And just being before the Blessed Sacrament, people really have a great experience and encounter of Christ. So that's what today is going to look like. Again, a little different, a little longer, a little shorter, different places.
Yeah, sure. Okay, great. And I guess we should make mention, too, this is all happening Saturday, October 24th. Have I got that right?
That's correct.
All right. Excellent. Very good. And the bishops are hitting the road to visit all five parishes. I think that's wonderful as well. Katie, tell us a little bit about registration. How do groups go about registering for these?
Yeah, so registration is happening on a parish level. We decided that with all of the different schedules that parishes are doing, that it's probably best if people contact the parish hubs directly to register. So there is going to be information up on our Archdiocesan Youth Day website pretty soon with how you can register directly through the parishes, but the youth ministers at each of the hub parishes are handling registration for AYD at that hub.
Wow, that's fantastic as well. And, well, fantastic for you. The youth ministers in these parishes might feel a little burdened, but you know what? They're doing it for the Lord, so I'm sure he'll provide the strength to get it through. Okay, wonderful. Is there a theme this year? There's usually a theme. Bill?
Young man, I say to you, arise. So this Pope Francis's theme for World Youth Day.
Oh, yeah, nice.
Yep, he pulls it right from the scripture every time, and that's going to be the theme. Obviously, we can do a lot with that. But when you think about this year we've had, we just need to rise out of it, huh?
Amen.
And so that's beautiful. The Lord wants to reach out to people, and that's kind of what I feel like. He said, "I know where you're at. Come with me. Yeah, let's come out of this. Let's live the life that I have for you." And as you said, I'm grateful to these youth ministry directors for putting a lot of work in. We told them from the beginning this is going to be a load, but they're working together. So they're working together in teams to help make this happen, and that helps.
It does. I mean, there's many hands make light work, so the saying goes, but I think when you throw the Holy Spirit in the mix too, you get pretty impressive results when you get a group of people working together. Any specific challenges? I mean, obviously there have been challenges in even thinking up how we're going to do this and everything, but anything that the whole of the movement can really use prayer for at this time, Katie?
Oh, man. I think it's just so important to pray that the kids who come, the teenagers who come, can just be open to the Lord and open to the life that He wants for them. Life has really felt like it's been put on hold nowadays, but, it hasn't. Like, this was, like, we still have to accept the life that God has given us, no matter what it looks like. And so prayers for that would be so wonderful.
Excellent. Bill, any suggestions for prayer requests as well?
We always want to pray for those young people that they come. If they will take a step, right, if the Lord calls them, and if they'll just turn and listen to the voice of the Lord calling, and open the door a little bit, the Holy Spirit, as you mentioned earlier, Patrick, can do amazing things. So let's pray for our young people's hearts to be open. I think right now in our crazy world, there's so much more need, and I think we're recognizing how much we need the Lord. And that recognition of our need, again, is one of the first steps we take to a vibrant relationship that He calls us to.
Amen. Bill, let me follow up on that, too. I think that there's, well, having worked in parish ministry, mm-hmm. Parish organizationally and institutionally, I mean, there's a lot on youth ministers' plates already. And especially as COVID starts, you know, has made its way in, and there's all sorts of adjustments that have had to be made and everything. And doubtlessly, whether you're part of one of these host parishes or whether you're looking to or at least considering taking a group, there's a lot of stuff that you got to take into consideration now that you wouldn't even had to think about before. So let me ask you, Bill, and Katie, I just might circle around to you for an answer on this too, a fair warning. Bill, what would you say to a youth minister who's thinking, I don't know, is it worth the effort? Should I really take a group to AYD this year in this new format?
Yeah, I know it's a great question. There is a lot of work right now. The work is doubled in some ways because of the regulation and just trying to make things happen and trying to reach out to our young people. And I honestly, I can't say kudos to our youth ministers enough. I know the work they're doing. And I know that doing something like this takes extra work. There's more forms. They got to figure out how to get the young people there. You can't just hop on a bus, a full bus anymore, right? Yeah, the bus can only be a quarter or a half full. And then, or you have to coordinate, you have to have the parents drop off, which is really the option we're leaning to this year, is asking the parents to drop off. And that's the benefit of having five locations. Mm-hmm. I think, Patrick, it's kind of strange, but you know, this is what we're given, and the Lord has a long habit of bringing good out of evil, right?
And yes, He does.
I think there might be some real blessings to these five different locations. I think there might be something special here that we can't do when we have 1,500 people, and maybe there's something special. So making it work, coordinating parents to drive, letting them organize the carpools, I think it's worth it. The people who are at the parishes are making it easy for parishes to register. They just have to pick their parish and sign up early because some of the spots are pretty small. But I'd encourage all my good people out there to bring a group. And if your parish doesn't have a youth ministry coordinator, a parent can coordinate a group. Religious ed coordinators can lead a group. We're going to make it as easy as possible for you to bring people.
All right. Very good. Katie, what would you say to a youth minister or even a volunteer coordinator, a parent coordinator who's saying, all right, maybe I should consider this? How would you encourage them?
Yeah. First, to echo Bill's sentiment of we are so appreciative for everybody who has been working so hard during all of this to try to make opportunities for kids to encounter the Lord possible. But yeah, just that it is, there's going to be some pretty unique blessings in going to a bunch of different hubs, and it gives an opportunity for kids to kind of meet people that maybe they wouldn't have an opportunity to meet previously, youth ministers to get to know youth ministers they maybe wouldn't have known. But most importantly, that Jesus is going to be there, and it's always, always, always a good thing to visit Him wherever He is.
Yep. Can't argue with that. That's wonderful. Thank you, Katie. Well, Bill and Katie, I'm prayerful for a good and fruitful time. And I can just see in the lives of youth who may just stumble in the door for whatever reason, this could be a real jumpstart to their faith. I mean, even in the revised format, maybe especially in the revised format, like you said, there's an opportunity here that was previously hidden, but now we'll see what the Lord can do with it. Bill Dill, Katie Walker, thank you so much for joining us here on the Rediscover Hour. God bless you.
Patrick, thanks for your prayers. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
Amen. All right. So the website there is archspm.org/AYD20, AYD20. Keep your eye on that. And for more information about how to register a group to bring them to one of these parish hubs for Archdiocesan Youth Day, October 24th. All right. We're going to go into our next break. When we come back, we've got Joan Gesick with us. She is going to be talking about Catholic cemeteries and the Bringing Them Home initiative. So we'll be talking about that. Stay with us. Discover.
Let's see, we got some phone calls yet? Let's look. Oh, we do.
Father Simon Says on Relevant Radio. Have a question?
Jesus performed miracles. He raised the dead.
Yes.
He told his disciples, these miracles and greater will you do. Do you off the top of your head remember any of the disciples or the apostles? Did they raise the dead?
Oh, yes, of course they did. Acts the 9th.
Have a question about the faith? Give Father a call.
Melissa, are you with us?
Well, God bless you, Father Simon. I wanted to say thank you because what I really enjoy about your program is I like how you have delved into the multiple languages and you really deepen my understanding because instead of just reading one flat line, for lack of a better word, you know, you give me the slang, the vernacular of the century. You really give me such a good understanding.
Father Simon Says.
Sei gesund, as we say in Skokie, stay healthy.
2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on Relevant Radio.
I think of Paul and Silas in the prison yard. I hear their song of freedom rising to the stars and when I says, go marching.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour here on Relevant Radio. Patrick Conley with you again, along with Cami Berfume, our producer, Paul Soudek, our technical producer, coming to you through the Relevant Radio 1330 AM studios in Golden Valley and brought to you by Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, they are there for life. So grateful to have Joan Gesick with us. Joan has spent over 40 years in parish work, and she is now the first woman to serve as executive director of the Catholic Cemeteries. Joan, welcome to the program.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Very grateful that you're with us today as well. All right, well, tell us, before we get into bring them home, let's talk a little bit about just Catholic cemeteries. For people who are unaware, what is the organization, the Catholic Cemeteries?
Well, the Catholic Cemeteries are, I guess we are the five cemeteries that are here in the Minneapolis-St. Paul area. I believe that, you know, originally when Bishop Ireland first came to Minnesota, he began Calvary Cemetery. And, of course, as you run out of room, you expand and start other cemeteries. So our organization oversees these five cemeteries. So it is Calvary in St. Paul, St. Anthony in North Minneapolis, Gethsemane in New Hope, Resurrection in Mendota Heights, and St. Mary's in Minneapolis, South Minneapolis. Hmm. And then we are also a resource for parishes that have their own cemeteries. So we conduct burials, of course, and provide resources for anyone who needs them. We assist with pre-planning. We offer pastoral care, pastoral follow-up after a death by the different programs that we have. And we look for ways to educate anyone who will listen about death, burial, and the Catholic perspective on that.
Hmm. Wonderful. Wow. Okay. That's great. And speaking of the Catholic perspective on that, let's talk a little bit about cremation. Can you give us a reminder of how cremation fits into Catholic doctrine?
Sure. When we go back to, I guess, the early days of the church, body burial, earth burial, tomb burial was the norm. And it wasn't until 1997 that the Catholic Conference of Bishops approved a rite to allow cremated remains to be present at a funeral liturgy. Otherwise, cremation was basically discouraged. We very much look at how do we treat the body we believe houses the breath of God, the soul, and because of that, we treat the body reverently, even in death. And since it was the temple of the Holy Spirit, we expect that we will rise again. It's one of the basic tenets of our faith. So we've got the rite of cremation that came in, and some of it was for very practical reasons, running out of space, land space, as well as circumstances where families could not be together or circumstances where a body could not be brought back from another country. There are a lot of pastoral circumstances. And the expectations when the bishops approved this was that the cremated remains would be treated as the human body. It is mm-hmm. the human body in another form.
Right.
And what has happened in the 20th and 21st century is that we've lost that idea of cremated remains being a human person.
Hmm.
And so what has happened, and I'll speak from Minnesota's laws because I'm not sure of the rest of the United States, although I think this is pretty similar. In Minnesota, cremation is seen as the final disposition of the body. So most funeral homes, unless they are Catholic funeral homes, will not even ask the question of people about what are you going to do with your loved one's cremated remains.
Mm.
Since in Minnesota, once the body is cremated, that is final disposition. There is no expectation for burial or a safe sanctuary for those cremated remains. So what we have seen is that there are a lot of families that just don't know what to do with the cremated remains.
Mm.
Some of it is that, initially they hold on to cremated remains thinking that I just want to keep my loved one closer. And after an amount of time, they kind of forget about the fact that they really were going to bury them or inter them somewhere.
Right.
As a result, when people who have been, the guardians of the cremated remains, when they die, other family members or executors of the estate don't know what to do with them. So people have found them in attics and closets and garages and...
Right.
And, they don't know what to do with them.
Yeah, it is disconcerting to run across an urn, or even sometimes it's not an urn. Sometimes it's more just a box that's there that has cremated remains. And then, what do I do with them? And that's where bringing them home comes in, right?
Yes. So this has been kind of one of my pet projects because after serving in parishes for so long, I know this exists because of knowing the people and not knowing what to do with them. So for some people, it might be that they just don't feel that they can afford to bury them or inter them. Other people just have no idea of what the church's teaching is about cremated remains.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, society's attitude is death is an inconvenience, and so you don't have to do anything special.
Right.
So we're fighting all of this. And so we began a program called Bringing Them Home. And so this month and the month of October until October 19th, we will be offering parishes and actually anyone who has cremated remains that they can come to Resurrection Cemetery. And for $200, we will inter them in a communal crypt in our mausoleum.
Nice.
They'll have a permanent resting place there.
Right.
They'll be taken care of in perpetuity. And we will have a formal record of their burial and of the name of the deceased for future members of the family. As well as peace of mind, knowing that their loved one will have a permanent home.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, until that one glorious day when you mentioned already that we will rise again, right? So I think that this is a creative way that you are, helping people to live out life in accordance with their faith. And I think it's a great initiative. I'm so grateful that you've brought it to it's becoming a reality here. What must people do if they want to have a loved one's cremated remains be part of this initiative?
We need them to call Resurrection Cemetery and make an appointment with one of our family service counselors. And what they'll do is they'll take them through the paperwork, explain what we're doing, show them where they will be interred. They will take a look at helping them to review the size of the container, let them know about the interment process and how they will be memorialized.
Mm-hmm.
So they're the ones who will do the paperwork for the family.
Gotcha. And do these the people who are the deceased, do they have to be Catholic?
No.
Okay.
This could be anyone, but because our mission is to bury the dead.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that all people, no matter who they are imbued with the Spirit of God.
Mm-hmm.
And we will reverence the life and the body of all people.
Wonderful. And when will this interment actually take place again?
The actual interment will take place on October 24th. Archbishop Hebda will come out and will do a committal service on that Saturday. And we will be recording it because we're in the age of COVID.
Sure.
We cannot socially distance in the chapel mausoleum. So we will have some musicians there, some lectors, some of the participants who are actually members of the cemetery staff. We will be there to participate in this interment in this communal crypt.
Yeah, wonderful. Well, Joan, I got to say, again, I'm so impressed with this initiative. I'm grateful that the Lord planted it in your head and then gave you the resources to get it going and become the reality that is quickly becoming. I think it's a great way of doing that corporal works of mercy, a work of mercy of burying the dead and helping people, again, to live their life in accordance with their faith and especially out of respect for their deceased loved ones. So thank you for that. Thank you so much for being with us on the Rediscover Hour. May God continue to bless you in your continued good work.
You too.
All right. We are going to go into our final break. When we come back, as always, Paul and I have some calendar items, events that you would like to know about, I'm pretty sure. So stay with us.
Rediscover. Hi, this is Matt Burke, former Minnesota Viking and Super Bowl champion here for Catholic United Financial. Did you know Catholic United Financial is now a $1 billion company? Not bad for starting over 140 years ago in a St. Paul church basement with $635 and change. They aren't the biggest, but they're absolutely rock solid when it comes to your finances. You don't get to $1 billion in assets by being anything less. They've sold life insurance from the start, when it was about people pooling their resources to help each other in times of need. They also provide ultra-safe and secure financial products, like annuities, which are a great complement to anyone's financial portfolio. And they now offer Medicare Supplement Health Insurance for those 65 and older. Maybe it's time you aligned your finances with your faith, like my family did, and join a $1 billion financial company you can trust. Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, they are there for life. Look them up at CatholicUnitedFinancial.org.
Say a prayer, say a prayer in the night. Say a prayer, say a
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. You know the drill. Mass is still dispensed, but if you're going to Mass, wear your mask. And remember, you can always check out archspm.org/COVID-19 for alternatives to in-person Mass.
And you can always hear daily Mass and devotions right here on Relevant Radio. Join us Monday through Friday for daily Mass at noon and 7:30, and Divine Mercy Chaplet at 3 with Drew Mariani, Sunday Mass at 9 a.m. and noon.
And the Praying with Scripture series, part of the Archdiocesan Synod, has begun, but it's not too late to join in. This virtual five-part series offers practical tools for growing in holiness and teaching from Archbishop Hebda and Bishop Cousins. Go to archspm.org/synod.
Learn how to save babies by peacefully reaching out with love and offering brochures to those entering local abortion facilities. Join Pro-Life Action Ministries for a free sidewalk counseling training seminar Thursday, October 15th, 7 to 9 p.m. at St. Bonaventure in Bloomington. For more information and registration, visit archspm.org/events.
During these lean pandemic times, if you are able to give beyond your own parish, please consider donating to the Minnesota Catholic Relief Fund to help out parishes and Catholic schools that are especially in need. To find out more and to give, just visit archspm.org/COVID-19.
And remember, there's a new time for Saturday's Rediscover Hour.
There
now
sure
tune
is.
In for the Rediscover Hour each Saturday at 1 p.m. on Relevant Radio 1330. It's just a half hour offset.
Yes.
So if you tune in early, it's okay. You'll hear Cale Clark, and then we'll come up right after that.
Yeah, you know, I've caught Cale's show a few times now. It's good.
It's
really good
stuff.
Yeah.
Great stuff.
He's a great presenter and quite a variety of things that he's doing. All right. One more thing. Be sure to check out Be sure to check out archspm.org/events for other upcoming events around the Archdiocese. You can still sign up to receive local evangelization updates under a new format. Go to archspm.org/evangelization, enter your email address, and don't forget to follow Rediscover Faith on Facebook. That's Rediscover Faith on Facebook. And Evangelization ArchSPM, all one word. Yep, Evangelization ArchSPM on Instagram. And you will find various posts, including posts about the Rediscover Hour. And you know what? I think, Paul, since Joan had that Bringing Them Home initiative, we should also mention that if you go to thecatholicspirit.com and you search for Catholic cemeteries, you'll find a great article there written back in September about that, about
great
the Bringing
stuff.
Them Home.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good stuff. It's very good stuff.
And it's something we all need to think about eventually.
Absolutely,
so we
yes.
might as well start now.
Yes, that's a great point. All right, well, thinking into the future, let's think a week into the future, because coming up next time on the Rediscover Hour, Archbishop Hebda kicks off a new monthly feature. We're going to have a monthly feature involving our bishops, so he's going to kick that off. Also, Nancy and Bill Banzuk, winners of a $100,000 grant from the Catholic Innovation Challenge, they'll be on to share how they will be using their prize to build up their Catholic Sprouts ministry for families. That's what's coming up next time on the Rediscover Hour. Thanks for tuning in this week. Grateful that you're with us. Continue to pray for us. And in the meantime, go to church and be the church.
The Rediscover Hour is heard every Friday evening at 9, Saturday afternoon at 12:30, and Sunday afternoon at 2 on Relevant Radio 1330. brought to you by Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, they're there for life. The Rediscover Hour is a production of the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis in cooperation with Relevant Radio. Rediscover.